Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. We praise you this morning. We praise you, Lord. Remember, guys, when you sign in and you hear that worship music, that's our opportunity to pray in tongues. I have a scripture for you guys this morning before we get started, because I have a very heavy warning to give you guys this morning. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says in verse 20, well, let's go back up, verse 18, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, who say the people that I am? And they answered, well, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but who do you say I am? And you're going to have to know, bride, who do you say that he is? Because you are about to go up against some very real devils in 2025. They are not playing around. This is witchcraft on a stick, bloodthirsty for the saints type of warfare we are going into in 2025. Who do you say he is? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. He's already telling them, I know I'm about to be martyred. And he said to them all, if any man comes after me, and this is all of us, bride, all of us, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Let me repeat it again. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my works, come on, because the rubber's met the road. You're either for the Lord or you're not. This is where we're at. There's no more playing around. You're either with me or you're not. Because martyrdom is right around the corner, people. I don't think we realize how quick this thing is going to happen. But there's no more floating the fence. There's no more one foot in and one foot out. You got to be all the way in. Because your life depends on it and your salvation depends on it. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. No more floating the road. No more. We are going into a life and death situation in 2025. They are not playing around with you, and they are not playing around with me. We cannot go into this blindsided in 2025. We've got to have our mind made up that we love Jesus more than we love any person, place, or thing, or our own self. The will of the Lord be done. And as it says here in Luke chapter 9, again, Jesus is here with his disciples before he is martyred. And he asks them, what does the world say that I am? Who do they say I am? Because it doesn't matter how the world sees Jesus, what they say about him, this false New Age Jesus that they have built up. They're going to do what they're going to do. But what do you say that he is? What do we say that he is? You have to know that before you cross over into 2025. Who do I say, Lord? Who are you to me? Are you enough to me to give my life? Are you enough to me that I can lose all around me? Are you enough to me? Because he says right here, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever shall lose it for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man that he gains this world? What is this world to us, bride? What is it? What is it? What do we have to gain by being here? We have examined through news time and time again all of the horrible things that they have in store for society. What do we have here? We have nothing. This time that we are here is a fleeting moment. It's a fleeting moment. You know, President Carter just died yesterday. 100 years old. When he was on his deathbed, his family was able to be with him. You know, when he was with his family, he was looking at them like, wow. I was only here for 5 minutes. We don't have time, bride, to play around. We don't have any more time. There's no more walking the fence. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to know his holiness and his purity. And you got to be willing to not compromise him. And to not give him up. He is your treasure in your heart. He is your husband. He is your treasured one. That is worth it all. So I'm just telling you this morning, in the presence of the Lord, that there is nothing worth your salvation, bride, nothing. The devil is a liar, and he is sweeping, AI is sweeping the internet. It is sweeping social media. It is swallowing people up. It is sucking them straight into the metaverse. And if we think that we have seen it all, we haven't seen nothing yet. This new technology they've got coming out is so demonic, Brad. Sorry. It is so demonic. We have to have the blood of Jesus over our head. We have to be in this dome to survive this. And we can't walk the fence, and we cannot walk in fear. We have to walk in this protection of the Lord. And we have to have the position of our heart that we will not compromise. Because I'm about to give you a warning that is very serious this morning. It's a continuation of last night. The news, which I am uploading it right now, and it will be available on the website, and you need to watch this. Because you need to know what is coming. Okay, good. It says it'll be ready in an hour. So by the time we get done with this, it should be... I'll be able to get it uploaded on the website. But there's something happening right now that is so diabolical. We never even thought this was coming. This is a new one catching me off guard. But I mean, of course, you know, we don't put nothing past them. This is something you need to know about that is in the works right now. So what I'm going to do is, and I do want to tell you this, my YouTube channel is officially down. No more YouTubes. We are officially underground now. And this is the way it is with this ministry. And I appreciate you guys letting me still be a watchman in this manner. And this is the best way, I feel like, because every morning, if I see something from the day before, this is the place to be. Because I will tell you, like what I'm about to show you, you know, so it's just the best way to do it. Because we're not on the mainstream social media and no more videos, you know. You'll hear after this. Okay. All right, so, Lord, I pray you help me to correctly articulate what it is that I'm seeing, Lord. Okay, so I'm going to start off this morning, and I'm going to play an audio of me riding down the road when I went up there to East Tennessee. And I was telling the bride as I was riding down the road about two dreams that me and Dennis had the night before. And I'm going to play this audio for you so you can hear these dreams. Hold on.
To you guys that, you know, wasn't on the video before, the Lord gave me and Dennis a dream last night.
Use the right two lanes to take the I-75 South, I-40 West exit to Nashville, Chattanooga.
On the dream last night, he told Dennis that the persecution against the church is going to increase real fast, and it's going to be because of the... That it's going to be because of the big eye country, okay? And then the Lord gave me a dream and said, at the same night, he said, batten down the hatchets for a storm is coming.
Okay, so that's one. One of the things that I believe that is talking about the big eye country is the anti-Semitism that is coming against the church, because, you know, that all started back in 2019 with President Trump. Remember that video where I warned you guys? Let me see. I've got it right here. I warned you about what he said when I was in the airport in Denver, Colorado. And this was when, let's see, this is when I was leaving the White House. I had just moved out. God was moving me out, and I was headed towards North Dakota because I was helping an elderly lady die. You know, that's a gift that God has given me back in 2013 when I prayed with people on their deathbed and helping them to cross over type of deal and just being with them in prayer and whatnot. And so this family flew me out there to North Dakota. And so let me get this video up here. All right, here we go. Let me play it. Let me know if y'all can hear this. All right, I am going to share screen because I can do that here on this morning thing. It's pretty cool. And then I think you'll be able to hear it. Okay. All right. Let me know if y'all can hear this. This was in December of 2019. Okay. Close to the end of his first term. Here. Okay. Well, I'll interpret it for you. I received an email today from the press corps about President Trump. He's talking about combating anti-Semitism. And he signed an executive order. And I'm going to read you the language. My administration is committed combating anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic incidents around the world. Anti-Semitic incidents have increased since 2013. And students in particular continue to face anti-Semitism in schools and on university colleges and campuses. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination based on all that stuff. Receiving federal financial assistance. I want you to hear me, churches. You need to pay attention to this, all of you. They receive assistance from 501c3. They're going to take you down if you preach truth. If you preach tolerance and all that, you won't. While Title VI does not cover anti-Semitism based on religion, individuals who face discrimination based on national origin do not lose protection under Title VI or being a member of a group that shares common things that share gender views. Anyway, so I'm warning there. Okay, so now let's move on to current times. All right, let me go back over here. I can stop that share. In other words, he did the action back in 2019. Excuse me. He did the action back in 2019. All right. So he prepared the groundwork for what's about to roll out in 2025, the great persecution against the church. All right. So let me get my audio back up here. Okay. So this new thing that's coming around the corner in 2025 that I want to warn you about is the Speaker of the House. Okay, last night I told you guys that Johnson was floating around the idea of making Elon the Speaker of the House. All right, now, I need you to hear what Antichrist 45, he's the guy that does a channel called Antichrist 45, talks about the alliance between Trump and Musk and how evil this thing is, okay? And I want to say this before we start going down this road. On the news last night, y'all got to hear this. I showed you the other day about how Trump on Christmas was so vile, you know, that he told people to go to hell. He wished they would go to hell on our holiday. He would never do that to Jews or to Muslims, but he does it every year to Christians. He has to throw in a wrench of evil, okay? So he did that, and then right around the corner was Elon telling the other Republicans to F themselves in the face. I mean, evil to the core. And the church is watching this, and they're still loyal. And this is where I believe Christina Beadsworth's prophecy, where she talks about, which we're going to talk about this, excuse me, tomorrow night, in the New Year's Eve program, where I'm giving the final warning for 2025, she talks about the judgment coming to the church for partnering with this, which is going to begin in 2025. And I believe it's because God looks down and he sees these gnar people who make excuse after excuse of partnering with this evil and this vileness. It's so demonic and just vile. That's the only way you can describe it. The way they talk and the way they act. And the church is going to make an excuse for this. You know, and they're going to be judged, because if you are attached to NAR, and you continue to attach yourself, because whatever excuse you've given yourself, oh, I'm trying to show them, I'm trying, and you've been doing this for years, and it ain't changed them, but you're still there. You got to ask yourself, why? Is it because you can't be considered a cast out? You don't, your face cannot suffer the consequences of a loss? You see what I mean? But when the judgment comes, you're going to be slapped. You're going to be hit like they are, because you are still attached to the vine. Okay? That's the last warning I'm going to give you about that. Excuse me. I've tried to warn you guys over and over again about it. So it is what it is. It's going to happen. People are going to do what they're going to do. But going back to this Trump and Musk alliance, the thing is increasing, and the church is still partnering with it. So let's listen to what Antichrist 45 has to say about this alliance. Here we go.
A couple of nights ago, Donald Trump had a rather interesting interview with Elon Musk on X. And considering the sheer magnitude of these two individuals, it certainly was of interest to millions of people. Here are a few things that stood out. Technical difficulties delayed the start by more than 40 minutes, but Musk stated almost immediately that the issues stemmed from a distributed denial of service attack on X, and that they were working on shutting it down. However, the technology news website The Verge reported that a source told them that a denial of service attack had not hit X, with another source stating that there was a 99% chance that Musk was lying. All of this was reminiscent of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' launch of his failed run for the Republican presidential nomination last year, which he tried to do on a Twitter Spaces event with Musk. The event with DeSantis was delayed by 25 minutes and marred by technical difficulties that resulted in a much smaller audience than the 500,000 who had initially attempted to join and listen. At the time, Trump poked fun at DeSantis for the botched attempt. While the DeSantis Twitter launch is a disaster, his whole campaign will be a disaster. It turned out that Trump was right about DeSantis, because not all of the GOP had learned that no one can fight the beast. But besides the delayed start, there was yet another curious problem to come. When Trump's interview finally got going, a new problem emerged. Trump's voice was very strange, often either sounding as if he was slurring words or speaking with a lisp. Video soon emerged of Trump doing his interview with Musk, showing him hunched over as he spoke into his phone. A hunched over posture would have undoubtedly played at least a small role in the way he sounded, as anyone speaking like this would have more saliva toward the front of their mouth, making it a bit more difficult to enunciate properly. For his part, Trump apparently did notice the reactions to how he sounded and released what he called a corrected version of the audio, which did make a noticeable difference in how he sounded. You can definitely hear that he sounded better in the corrected version, which makes me wonder how much the original audio was manipulated. Trump went into the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania, which led Musk to endorse him a few days later. Trump called the moment surreal and claimed that his faith had grown deeper due to his survival. The bigger miracle was that I was looking in the exact direction of the shooter, and so it hit me at an angle that was far less than any other angle, Trump recounted. So that was the miracle. That was for those people who believe in God. I think we got to all start thinking about that. You have to, you know, I'm a believer. Now I'm more of a believer, I think. Here Trump referred to this as a miracle, and considering how many evangelical Christians tell him he was chosen by God, it sounds like Trump is starting to believe his own press. Trump also said he would return to Butler, Pennsylvania in October. Trump promised to build an Iron Dome system in the United States, comparable to Israel's Iron Dome. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to build an Iron Dome over us. You know Israel has it. We're going to have the best Iron Dome in the world. The Iron Dome is a missile defense system that Israel created in 2006 in the aftermath of the conflict with Hezbollah. It can protect against incoming short-range weapons, but experts have stated that building one to protect the U.S. is not practical due to the exceptionally high cost. We need it, and we're going to make it all in the United States. We're going to have protection because it just takes one maniac to start something. Trump is certainly right about that. All it takes is one maniac to start something. I want to close up Department of Education. Move education back to the states. If you moved education back to the 50 states, you'll have some that won't do well, but they'll actually be forced to do better because it'll be a pretty bad situation. What makes this quote so interesting is that Trump had made no such claim about abolishing the Department of Education in his original Agenda 47 proposals, but this is one of the major goals of Project 2025. If you recall, a few weeks back, Trump started disavowing Project 2025 as not only not speaking for him, but that he didn't even know a whole lot about it. However, for not knowing a whole lot about Project 2025, Trump is now talking about one of its major policy ideas. Although they have a history of criticizing one another, Trump and Musk do have a few things in common. They both have extreme egos, they both lash out at those who criticize them, and they both see themselves as victims. Those things in common have led Trump and Musk to form a kind of symbiotic relationship, one that is mutually beneficial. In the case of this interview, it was an opportunity for each of them to promote themselves in a way they could never have done on an individual basis. Despite the troubled start and the problems with Trump's voice in the original audio, both Trump and Musk spun the interview as an incredible success, and both talked about how it had 1 billion views. The astonishing number of views directly feeds into both men's egos. But even more than that, the interview served to align the world's most famous man, who is also a political force that's never been seen before, with the world's wealthiest man, who also happens to control a wide range of cutting-edge technologies. And coincidentally, the interview came at a time when Musk also introduced his next step in AI technology. The day after his interview with Donald Trump, Musk's artificial intelligence startup, xAI, launched a beta version of its latest AI assistant called Grok 2. This is an image generation tool similar to OpenAI's DALL-E and Google's Gemini. But unlike its competitors, Grok 2 has substantially fewer restrictions on the type of images that can be generated. It will not only produce images of copyrighted content, which the others do not, but it also doesn't have any guardrails around creating images of political leaders. Thus, a technology that allows users to fabricate any political image they desire is now exclusively on X, the platform run by a man who already aligns himself with Trump, and it's now being released just before the 2024 election. Even more, Grok 3 is scheduled to be released by the end of the year, which is within the window between the November election and before the next president would be inaugurated in January. The man who lines up with the biblical descriptions for the Antichrist now has a golden opportunity to use deception as a means to bring himself back to power, or at the very least, create absolute chaos surrounding the election. And make no mistake about it, now that Trump and his hardcore supporters have a tool to deceive the masses, they will use it. And it's courtesy of Elon Musk.
All right, now, what y'all need to know about this is, we're only a few weeks away from the inauguration, right? We're going into 2025, and we know all of their, not all of their plans, but we know their plans about Project 2025. We know about what they're wanting to start in May, which is their year-long celebration of America, where they are going to be parading in the streets in each town and all that kind of stuff. We know that Musk is going to be doing deregulation, him and Vivek. Whenever y'all think of Vivek, you need to think of 2 VVs. I see that in the spirit. And I've been telling you that because he's double danger. Double V. V for vaccine. Remember, he's the one that owns the pharmaceutical company, and he is the partner with the V type of deal. So anyway, they have 18 months to get the government in order before the new rollout of the new country, the new identity they have, the Judeo-Christian identity, which is Noahide laws. On July 4th of 2026, okay? And now we know, as of the news last night, that they are wanting to bring in the country of India to help the Department of Doge, which you can't make it up that that department is the same name as Elon's cryptocurrency. And so they're wanting to bring in all of the people that have already been doing this over in the country of India. Well, what else do we know is happening that is sort of like that is President Biden, because he sent a bunch of doctors over there to the Congo to help with the monkeypox pandemic that's happening over there, of which the WHO, the World Health Organization, did title that as a pandemic, as a global pandemic warning. So now those doctors will be coming back. So, you know, they're all getting everything in ready for what they're about to roll out. Okay, so going back to the Speaker of the House that I want to talk to you about, there is a procedure we do here in the country, and that is that in our Congress, we have two separate houses. You have the Senate and the House. And whichever one is the majority of people is able to have a Speaker of the House. This is the one that basically manages both sides. And right now we have Johnson. He is a Republican. Okay, so now they're getting ready to pick a new speaker. So there is a war going on in D.C. about who is going to take this position. Now, I showed on the news last night that Johnson had teetered around with the idea of making it Elon. Now, if that's not a scary thought, I don't know what is, because the Speaker of the House is the third in line for the President of the United States. You have the President of the United States, and you have the Vice President, and then you have the Speaker. So if something happens to the President, which we all know there's plans to with President Trump, so with him being removed, who would take it next? It would be the Vice President and the Speaker. So now he would be able to advance to Vice President and possible President one day without even going through an election. And they changed the rules in Congress to where now you can have a Speaker of the House without even being a congressman. Now, how does that work? So now that you know that groundwork, and you consider that we're only weeks away from the inauguration, there is something else I want you to know about the inauguration is the way they're setting up the White House. This is highly unusual. Okay. When I was working there, they did have a fence, you know, that separated the White House from the normal public. And then you have the Secret Service that's in between us, that's on the White House side, and the public. And whenever the president or the vice president comes to the side of the White House where the public is on the backside, the Secret Service is notified and they move everybody, like all of the public, out of the way. And they will tell them with their guns out, you know, this is why I know the Capitol was such a farce, because that went so against protocol, it would not even be funny. You know, the president, we do have the best Secret Service, so they're lying. All this stuff they're saying on the news is nothing but a bunch of lies, okay? Anyway, so the Secret Service tells all these people out there in Lafayette Park, they tell them, get out of the way now, 200 feet back, go, you know. And they'll tell them, you move now, we're going to shoot you. You know, there's no playing around. And people will be running, you know, because they keep so much distance from the president. You don't get near the president, okay? But the changes they've made now is they have made that fence 12 foot tall. They have put spikes on the top of it, you know, which gives us the impression that there must be some type of chaos or something coming, because we know that after the election, there was nothing. Crickets, crickets. I mean, not a word from the Democrats. No riots. I mean, this is the most unusual thing we've ever seen, which we know is on purpose because it's in reserve for. See, we know that they do the chaos. And what they do is they hire. This is what we have. What our suspicion is that they hire, you know, these groups like Antifa and stuff to do all this stuff. You know, because a classic example, we just had a contested presidential election. There was nothing, crickets, you know, which normally you would have a bunch of people protesting, you know, and have all this. There was nothing. So also for the inauguration, they have built a case around where the president will be inaugurated like they have never done before. They have built a shield. It looks like a snake's mouth is the only way I can describe it. Because remember I told you how the Republican Party, when they did their RNC, they did it in the shape of a snake's mouth. That's kind of the way this looks to me. It's weird. And don't forget that, and I showed y'all this on the news, 2025 is the year of the snake, the Chinese year of the snake. So the inauguration has a bulletproof glass all the way around this man. So let's just pause there and think a minute. Okay, what is going to happen between now and in 3 weeks to cause this much chaos to happen that you have? I mean, because the way it looks right now is if he was to step up there now and accept and do his hand on whatever Bible they put there, whatever this instrument is they're going to use this time, you know, you wouldn't think there'd be not one lick of opposition. So what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks to cause this much chaos, okay, that they have to fortify the White House in this way? And the fact that Elon is now calling that he wants the drones across the entire country. I mean, I forgot how it was. Let me look that up real quick because why is he calling for a massive amount of drones? All right, let's see. Elon calls for drones across America. Okay, let's see how he said it. U.S. needs mini hypersonic missiles. Okay. Elon Musk bullish on combat drones. There's a company called the Droning Company. Oh, he favors drone swarms. Oh, I hate them swarms. Oh, creepy. Now, talking about, okay. Oh, I see. He's saying that the F-35s are obsolete and they need drones, more drones. Oh, okay, I see what it is. Elon Musk calls for U.S. to replace fighter jets with drones. He wants unmanned aircraft. That's what they call it. Unmanned aircraft. And they need hypersonic missiles and all that kind of stuff. Now, this kind of reminds me of a dream. Remember the dream I told you about we had during a fast? I think it was back in September, where I was driving to Atlanta and there was a checkpoint. Remember I told you how they're putting up these checkpoint Charlies on the interstate? And a drone comes up and tells you to get out of the car. The drones are the police. And it says, you know, you go over there to the side of the building. So I go over there to the side of the building. I'm standing there with a bunch of other people that a drone has told to go over there. And he says, you all have been charged for being a Christian, and it shot all of us. The drone just killed us all. But that was a dream that I had. But anyways, so these drones we know are packing, and that this is one of the things that they had planned, is they're going to do away with police forces, and the machines will be the policemen. And you know what's so sad about this, before I start playing all this audio, is the church. Isn't this the saddest thing? And I do want to tell you guys that thank you for letting me have a week off. It was wonderful. I was able to get my living room reorganized because we brought the stuff from the office we had in the city, and we brought it back down. We didn't have any room to put the couch, and I had to redo the whole living room and all this stuff, and I couldn't stand just the chaos. That's why I said, guys, just give me a week off. I've got to get this organized. So we did. We got it organized, and I love my living room now. It's very cozy. And, you know, so I appreciate you guys letting me have that week off. Me and Dennis, you know, we did a lot of repenting and a lot of praying. And, you know, some things come to the surface. We dealt with it, and we have the victory for it. We're very thankful. And, you know, so I was able to spend some time with the Lord and, you know, got some things off my heart there. So I feel a lot better, you know. And now we're going in, and I'm all caught up on the Bible college. I have, you know, all the students are ready to go. They've got their syllabuses and everything. And all of you that wanted to go to Bible college but couldn't because we're full, we will have the next class sign up will be in the middle of February. For our March class starts, the next one will be in March. And that one is going to be on the tabernacle. That is the most fascinating study. And these Bible college courses are 6 weeks long. So, and then we'll take a 2-week break after that, and then we have the next one. And then for the summer, we'll take off for the whole summer and start back in August. So it's an adventure, you know, going into this new territory of the Bible college and these prayer calls, you know, that are kind of news/prayer, you know, all in one. But this is the way to go. I really like this platform because I get to know you guys a lot better. It's a lot more intimate than just YouTube, which is just me on there. And, so anyway, all right, now getting back to the audio, we've got just a few weeks left, and Tuesday night, which is just tomorrow night now, at 10 o'clock, we're going to meet right back here, and we're going to do our New Year's Eve celebration, and we're going to have communion. And on this thing, I'm going to make the big picture of what you're looking at in 2025 very plain tomorrow night. And then we're gonna say goodbye to We Are the Bride Ministries. That was birthed since 2005. So look, this is the 20th year of We Are the Bride Ministries. And we're giving it back to the Lord. It is a seed that came in Bible college. It was birthed in Bible college. And now God is asking for it back. And we're going to do that officially tomorrow night. It's a very surreal thing for me that, you know, ministry is what brought me to the White House and, you know, opened up all these doors, and it exposed to the church what it is they're looking at. And now the ark door is closed, and now God is ready to take it back. So that mission of that entity that was birthed in the earth completed its mission, and it's going to go back to God tomorrow night. So that's why the YouTube channel was shut down and all that, because we're going to a new chapter, which is going in the garden. Society began in the garden, and we're going to end in the garden. This is why this first semester we're studying the garden books, because we're going back to the garden. But anyway, so that's what we're going to do tomorrow night, and we're going to ring in the new year. And we're going to, you know, let things go from 2024. That's tomorrow night. I encourage you guys to be on here with us from 10 o'clock to midnight. And then Wednesday morning, we'll have no prayer call. And then Wednesday night, we have Bible college first night. And then Thursday morning, we will have prayer call, and Friday morning. And then the following week, we go back to regular schedule, Monday through Friday. All right, so let's get started with the audio. Now, this first one that I have for you is about the fight that is going on in for the Speaker of the House. All right, here we go.
We begin with the 119th Congress, which opens on Friday. Up first, voting for a House Speaker. Mike Johnson needs at least 218 members to vote for him when Congress starts. It will be 219 Republicans to 215 Democrats. As Fox News senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram points out, quote, "The House absolutely, unequivocally cannot do anything until it elects a speaker, period. This also means that the House cannot certify the results of the Electoral College, making Trump the 47th president of the United States on January 6th. What happens if the Electoral College isn't sorted out by January 20th? Well, President Biden is done. So he's gone. The same with Harris. Next in the presidential line of succession is the Speaker of the House. Well, there's no Speaker, so who becomes the President? If the House is still frittering away time, trying to elect a Speaker on January 20, President Pro Tem of the Senate, Chuck Grassley, likely becomes President, Acting President. I write likely because this gets into some serious extra-constitutional turf. These are unprecedented scenarios, strange lands never visited in the American political experience," end quote. Let's bring in House Oversight Chairman James Comer. Congressman, boy, it all starts on Friday. It's hard to believe it's upon us. But the biggest question is, can the Republicans stay united? Will they vote for Mike Johnson for Speaker on the first ballot, or will this continue on for days and who knows how long?
Well, I sure hope we can do it on the first ballot. As you know, Jason, the process is the House Republicans or whoever the majority is, if the Democrats had won the majority, they'd have done the same thing. They meet. We meet in December. We nominate people to run for leadership, including the Speaker of the House. Whoever wins, then everyone agrees, all right, we're going to all support our Speaker nominee on the floor. No one ran against Mike Johnson. To this day, and here we are inside a week of the Speaker's vote, there is still not a single declared candidate. But as you know, we have five Republicans that won't commit to voting for Mike Johnson. They can only lose one or two votes. So I sure hope we don't repeat this. And I'm strongly encouraging my colleagues to go ahead and elect Mike Johnson. And let's get started on passing President Trump's agenda.
Well, Andy Harris, who is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, he is not necessarily fully committed. What about those five people? I mean, this is going to be the challenge, Congressman. Every single time a vote comes up, can the Republicans stay united? Because two people go the different direction, you can't get from here to there.
It's a terrible challenge. We've seen it play out over the past 2 years. It was very difficult for Kevin McCarthy. It's been very difficult for Mike Johnson. It would be very difficult for whomever would be elected Speaker of our conference. But at the end of the day, the difference between the 119th Congress and the 118th Congress is we'll have a Republican president, a strong Republican president who's very popular with Republican congressmen's constituents back home, and that's Donald Trump. I strongly encourage Donald Trump to get on the phone with those five or six members who won't commit to voting for Mike Johnson, because all this is going to do is delay us. It's going to delay the certification of President Trump's election. It's going to delay the start of his first 100 days in office, which is the most important time frame of his whole presidency. That's when you get the most done historically. So I strongly encourage President Trump to get on the phone and try to get everyone united so we can work together as a team and make America great again.
Well, Congressman, I should say Chairman, I used to chair that committee. You chair it now. Yeah. You have jurisdiction over the federal workforce. Now, there have been a lot of allegations that the Biden administration has tried to Trump-proof, if you will, this administration by, you know, striking deals so that federal workers don't have to come back to work. They can telework and do things like that. What are you going to do? What are you seeing? What are you worried about with the federal workforce and their ability to come in and do the job that the American taxpayers are paying for?
Well, you're exactly right, and I've said this many times publicly. Joe Biden's trying to burn it down on the way out. With respect to the federal workforce, every hardworking, taxpaying American who works in the private sector is appalled that such a high percentage of the federal workers aren't showing up for work. They're working from home. We have a bill that we passed out of the House last Congress. Of course, the Democrat Senate wouldn't take it up. We'll pass it out again this Congress, hopefully in the first 2 weeks of this Congress, called the Show Up Act, that will require the federal workers to go back to work. And I strongly support DOGE, my committee, the House Oversight Committee, your old committee, Jason. We're going to work closely with Elon Musk and Ramaswamy, and we're going to try to make the federal government more efficient. I think we have too many federal employees. There are too many duplicative services being performed by too many federal employees. There are too many federal employees who aren't showing up for work. Their productivity.
Isn't that amazing how all of the people are just bowing to Musk and Vivek? Can you believe it? I mean, to just bow the entire government over to Elon, you know, is just creepy on every level. But as you heard in that soundbite, you heard how they talked about the war that's happening for the speaker. Now, I'm going to let you hear another audio clip where the Republicans are pushing for Vivek.
And as a result, somebody's going to have to lose their job over this. I don't think the speaker is going to remain in power. That's my prediction. I'm not in the House. If I'm correct in that, and yeah, I think I am, we need bold new leadership, outside leadership, and I think it needs to be a DOGE speaker. It needs to be either Vivek Ramaswamy or it needs to be Elon Musk. Look, I was over here a couple weeks ago, House and Senate Republicans for a DOGE caucus meeting. I've never seen, we're like, you know, herding cats, Republicans on Capitol Hill, never seen so much attention, so much respect for two people in our entire caucus in the Senate and in the House.
So you're officially nominating right here on Jesse Waters Primetime, either Vivek or Elon to be, yes, House Speaker. Doesn't have to be a politician, could be anyone, can be Speaker. Do they want that job?
I don't know. Look, I'm a little bit more, I'm a little bit skeptical. Elon is kind of busy. He's got like 54 companies that he's running,
right,
and trying to get to the moon. I suspect Vivek is a little bit more open to it than Elon. I'll take either one of them. Vivek, Elon, if you're watching, please sign up. America needs you.
All right. Well, I don't think Johnson likes you now. Next time you guys see each other walking through the halls of Congress, he's going to probably kick you in the leg.
He is a good man. He's a friend. He's been a friend for a long time. Great person. He's lost control of this process.
Okay.
And I don't know how he can remain in power.
All right.
We need Elon or Vivek as Speaker.
He's a friend and...
All right, now how shocking is that? Oh, we need Elon. We need Vivek. We've got to have them as the Speaker of the House. The third in line for the President of the United States. Do you really have to have one of these two guys that have been not involved in politics at all? I mean, both of them are globalists to the bone. See, this is what I'm warning you about this morning, Brad. This is happening in our halls of Congress. And this is what we're going to be looking at for the next 3 weeks before the inauguration happens. Can you imagine this prayer call? I mean, just think about it. This is just today as we inch in closer to the inauguration, how much is going to be happening. And so if you see this now, can you see the chaos that will ensue if their savior is removed? What is going to happen to them? Because yesterday, Dennis and I was at this restaurant and we was celebrating, you know, going on a date. We try to go on a date once a week. And which is all just out to eat, that's it. But anyway, we met this man. You know, he was just standing there in line. And we got to talking. He was such a friendly man. So I offered him, you know, would you like to sit with us if you're alone? He's like, yeah, boy, it was a divine appointment. Divine. Such a good, godly man, you know. And we had a really good conversation about his life and about, you know, what's happening in the world. The sad thing is, and I see this all the time, is people that, you know, they only know what's happening out there because of what the media is pushing out and what these pastors that are connected to the beast are pushing out. They're all in unison. So this image of the beast is what they're believing, because there is no other way unless you, you know, find people that are speaking truth and see what's happening, you know, like me. There's no way unless they've done research to find out for themselves. And most people don't even know how or, you know, to do that. So then to have to bust his bubble, it's so sad to do that. It really is. Because these people are just good, godly people that just love the Lord and they want to believe that there's somebody out there that's real and somebody that is going to make a difference in this country. And, you know, they have no idea that our country is gone. They have no idea that the United Nations has taken over. They have no idea that our country's been gutted. They have no idea that, you know, tribulation time is here, where there is no pre-trib rapture. He even asked me point blank. He said, do you believe in the pre-trib rapture? I said, no, sir. You know, and it's hard to hear when you're in a church that their whole platform is set on, you will not suffer. You will, don't worry, it's going to be all right. The rapture hasn't happened yet, so all is well. So, you know, and they, this pastor of his church took the V and pushed his church to take the V. But praise God, this man didn't take it. But this is what we're looking at out here. So to tell him about Trump when he was so proud, you know, of Trump and that he won, and then to tell him the truth, you just see the light go right out of his eyes. It's so sad because it's like I could hear his heart talking to me. I could hear his heart saying, I believe you're telling the truth, but I don't want to believe you're telling the truth. Does that make any sense? I hear you, but I don't want to hear you. You know, it's a sadness that they feel like, oh, what if I was wrong? What if, you know, like you just see it in their eyes. And, you know, we texted each other afterwards and everything, and he was very thankful that we was able to meet, you know, and we just pray, you know, that God would open his eyes. You know, it's just one person at a time. I mean, you know, that's how you change the world. You just have these God encounters where you're able to just really sit down with someone and give them 30 minutes of your time and explain to them what it is they're looking at, you know. But anyways, okay, so let's get back to the audio. Now, so that is, now all of this you notice is coming from Fox News. Did you notice? The biggest farce there ever was. Fox News is nothing but a fox. A sly old fox that come in the camp, into the church camp to deceive people. How a sly fox does. That's exactly the way that thing is. Because they have been used by the beast. I saw it when I was in the White House myself. You know, crazy. Okay, so here's the last one, and then I will talk to you. This one is Steve Bannon, who is Trump's henchman, who just got out of jail. He is a hero within the Republicans because he is the only one that refused to bow to, you know, this is the way they presented to everybody, that refused to bow and turn on Trump. So he went to prison. So he's been in prison all this time, and he just got out right before Trump steps back in. So he's been getting a lot of media press. So this is his. Now, this guy, you just know he's the king. He is the king of media. He is the one that is going on a campaign against all anti-Trump media. So he's Trump's henchman over media. So they're going after media who is against Trump. Okay, so listen to what he has to say about the Speaker of the House battle.
Let's spend a minute on what's happening on Capitol Hill, because it's confusing, I think, to the average person who does not pay a lot of attention to continuing resolutions or these end-of-year budget wars that always seem to wind up the same way with them saying, just fund it under the same terms we've been funding it. So in a nutshell, what's happening is we're going to run out of money to fund the government. They tried, including Speaker Johnson, spearheaded an effort to try to continue the existing funding, but with some hikes, like pay hikes for Congress, and ongoing funding for some very controversial organizations. But just to sort of kick the can down the road to March, and the Republicans, some 30 of them in the House who never vote for these, who just always say this is so irresponsible. What are we doing? We have enormous debt and deficits. We're not going to support this. Necessitated Speaker Johnson, he would say, reaching out to some Democrats to get approval for this bill. That necessitated all the spending extravaganzas because they won't support it unless they get some of their favorites in there. And the whole thing wound up a very ugly nightmare that was about to be shoved through. And then Vivek and Elon, who are running Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, his extra governmental watchdog on spending, stepped in to say, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And that there was blowback. And then Trump dropped in with another message, which I'll get to in 1 second. Anyway, the whole thing blew up. It all blew up. And now they might have a new deal that's like a very slimmed down version of all this. But for the people at home who are lost already with me, with this back and forth, Steve, what is the bottom line? What do they need to know?
But here's what I think is important. The fiscal year of the government runs out on September 30th. The appropriations, the budget, all should have been done. Because of election year, the kind of Republican establishment wanted to kick the can down the road. So it started with the CR even on October 1st. And what we know from October and November, from the numbers that have been put out by the government, we've had the two biggest deficit months in recorded history, $674 billion of deficits in the first 2 months. We're going to be almost $800 billion to $1 trillion in the first 90 days of this fiscal year. Right now, we're adding about $1 trillion of new debt through deficits every 100 days. I called this a year ago, and this is what's happened. The projection, Megan, for 400 days from now, basically the one-year anniversary of President Trump's inauguration of the 20th, is $40 trillion in debt. So in that context, this whole thing of another CR, because people would just say, let's get this thing sorted now. The CR was to kick it into past January 20th, so President Trump would have an attempt with Russ voted OMB in Vivek, in Elon at DOGE, to actually come up with the House members and actually come up, because all taxes and all spending have to come from the House, according to the Constitution, that President Trump would have so this is going to be a very simple, kick it into past 20th and maybe give them a couple of months. So let's say March, because we hate CRs. What happened, and you saw Johnson spending all this time with Elon, and he's going to UFC, he's walking into the UFC. He's at the Army-Navy game in the box. He's spending a ton of time with President Trump in Mar-a-Lago and with Vivek and Elon. And what happens is he drops this thing the other day that needs to be voted in 24 hours. It's 1,500 pages. It is, and remember, the CR itself, because when you do continuing resolutions, you're just basing it upon the approved spending from the previous year. So the CR in for the 90 days in any one quarter is about $500 billion in spending, or almost, you know, on top of that, he layered on new spending of about $300 billion. This is an almost a $1 trillion package. So, but worse, 80% of it was Hakeem Jeffries. And if you look at the 1,500 pages, you're a lawyer. This is a highly negotiated legal document. It's ready to be made into a law, not an executive order. This is a law. It's 1,500 pages in total giveaway to the Democrats. I mean, biolabs in Ukraine, more stuff on the pandemic, more stuff backing Fauci. The Global Engagement Center, the thing that you and Mike Benz and others ran about all the time, that's fully funded for another year. This was 80 to 90% of Democratic priorities. And now we know, as we peel it back, that Schumer, McConnell, Hakeem Jeffries basically negotiated with this guy, and he didn't tell anybody. The problem is he dropped it on people, another $800 billion in spending nobody planned on, never got Trump in the loop, never got Vivek and Elon in the loop, and then lied about it even on Fox. He goes on Fox and Friends and more, says, well, I'm going to message chain with Vivek and Elon, and I walked him through that we only have a couple of votes in the House and they're all fine with this. Well, they weren't fine with it at all. And the more you peel it back, it's terrible. So that got thrown out. And then you had this whole fiasco, and President Trump, I think, feeling he wasn't being dealt with straight, started to put some demands, particularly that I want to increase the debt ceiling. Now, I don't want to get too technical, but there's a number of instruments called reconciliation that will take place early in President Trump's second term that the debt ceiling issue can be incorporated in there. And I hope what they're doing, first off, if this has got to be what it is, to shut the government down. Let's just shut it down and wait till Trump gets there. And they're going to try to extract as much pain on the American people. They're going to tell TSA to go home, although TSA are vital personnel. They're going to shut down the airports over Christmas. I mean, Biden would extract a lot of pain from the American people. But I think you got to say at some point in time, enough is enough. Now, it turns out, Megan, up there, I think what they're intended now is it looks like they're going to break it down into three separate bills. A clean CR that just kicks it like they should. Just 90 days with nothing. It just says we're going to continue the spending, kick it out to March 20th, which was the original plan. Then this farm bill, because the farmers are under pressure and the banks there are not getting paid, it'll be a separate bill, 10 or 20 billion for the farmers. And then the last will be the relief of FEMA, which normally would have to have an offset because we have tough decisions to make. And I'm not sure the FEMA money is not there. They're just not paying it. Biden's just putting the screws.
$110 billion.
What normally we would have offsets for that. That's an offset measure. But because in the hurry, and I said, listen, this is how you get $40 trillion of debt. And I'm not so sure FEMA doesn't have the cash right now. I think that's a Biden regime putting the screws to MAGA in Western North Carolina.
Okay, so you guys get the idea. They are pushing for the Speaker of the House to be changed to Elon or Vivek. So how is that going to work? And what kind of chaos is going to ensue? And notice how he said he has a text conversation, a group going with Vivek and Elon. This is Steve Bannon. So I just wanted to warn you guys this morning that this is coming down the pike over the next few weeks. I encourage you guys to come on here and to stay close. And we will stay on top of this because a lot could happen between now and then. So I just wanted you to know this was happening, and we're going to pray about it this morning. I don't even know what it's going to take to open people's eyes anymore. I really don't, because at this point, like God said, you know, the ark door has been closed. I think what he means is that people have made up their mind. See, think about what happens whenever you warn someone, and you, like me, when I sat down, I went to every one of my family members in 2020 when I got out of the White House and come back from North Dakota. I went and visited every one of them, and I sat down with them, and I told them what I knew, and I said, I am warning you not to take this. Well, 95% of them took it. The seed is still there to this day, though, what I said. And, you know, you can release your seed, you can warn people, but they're going to do what they're going to do. Okay. And when they do, some of them will turn on you. And I've had this happen. They get mad because they know what they did was wrong and they did not heed your advice. So they turn around on the one that gave the advice and make you the bad guy. Because they know what they did after they did it and was prideful at first. But then they started getting sick and started seeing what's happening out here and realized, what if she was right? Now, see, this kind of goes back to the scenario of me mailing out 25 letters to pastors. I'm going to mail some more today. Me and Dennis have remembered a couple more. So I'm going to mail this letter out to him. And by the way, tomorrow night, I'm reading that letter. You will get to hear it. What I have sent to these pastors, my heart-to-heart 9-page letter of warning that tells them everything from A to Z. You'll get to hear it all tomorrow night. But just imagine these people. Okay, let's say they get this letter. They haven't seen me in 10 years. Okay, and many of these judged me back then. They didn't like me. They liked it that I was there helping them, but because of their doctrine and the way they are with NAR, they didn't like me. I am putting it on the website after New Year's. I'm waiting till after New Year's because I want to make sure that all of these people I've sent it to have a chance to read it first. But anyways, so they told me I was immature because I was not wealthy. You know, in their doctrine of NAR, they do not consider you successful unless you have material things to show for it type of deal. So because at that time I was serving and I was homeless and, you know, it looked like I was a bum. But I wasn't a bum because I had a master's degree in corporate communications. I had studied in London under the top 3 global firms, and God told me, I'm your boss now, so I want you to travel and serve my people, and I want you to do it all for free. And I did that for 3 years, almost 4 years. The 5th year I was in the White House. So they saw the elevation. But I even had one of them, they was putting me down so bad about me driving a broke down car and all this. I told him, I said, you see me right now. Come on now. But I see you over there. Talk to me in 10 years. You know, you see right now while I'm in my pit. But I see the palace, you know. So the palace came. And now they know this. So it's like a Joseph, you know, Joseph with his brothers. But now I'm writing my brothers, okay? And I'm calling them honorable pastors. And I'm thanking them. I hand wrote in all of the Christmas cards, thank you for letting me come to your church and letting me in your house. You know, it's been 10 years now, and I've got something I've got to warn you about. Please read this letter. I wrote a letter to all these pastors that I've served across this country about what I've learned in the White House, and this is going to affect your family, and this is life and death, sir. Please read this letter. Well, the letter is 9 pages long, okay? So tomorrow night, I'm going to read that letter to you guys, and then the next day, I will make it public, but I know it's putting my life on the line because I am dealing with some heavy stuff. Again, I put my life online all the time, but, you know, it is what it is at this point. But for the next few weeks, we're going to be watching this very close because some type of chaos is going to happen. They're preparing for it, for the inauguration. Who is going to be sworn in as president? This is going to be key. Who's it going to be at this point? I mean, all it takes is if one got removed, if the big T got removed, then you had JD there, and then they make Elon the Speaker of the House, and Elon moves up to Vice President. What if something happens to JD, and then Elon's President makes Vivek Vice President? I mean, you just don't know what these people have in store. But I do know this for the church. God has already warned us. We have got persecution coming, martyrdom coming. And that's what was hard to tell that guy yesterday, too, you know. You know, sir, it's not, you know, that doctrine, the pre-trib rapture doctrine, was to cause people to take the V. Because that's why they felt so safe, because the rapture had not happened yet. But the sad thing is, you know, what they took is death itself, you know. So anyways, I guess that's all I'm going to say this morning, because tomorrow night I'm going to finish it with the preparation of what's coming in 2025. But I do want to reiterate what the Lord said this morning in the Word. Let me go back to it. He said, if you love your life more than you love me, you will lose it. You have to be willing, bride, to give your life and to give it all for the Lord. Because they're going to, and don't forget, one of the dreams I had is where they come to you and they'd be real nice to you. Oh, we need your data. We're going to move your data over to Web3. So, you know, we're building this new world because we're going to make it so much safer for you. And it's just going to be so much nicer. And, you know, so we're going to move your data over here to this new order. And we need your permission to do it. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to wipe all your debts. You're going to get to start off. This is a Jubilee year. You know, so we're going to make this nice for you. This is all in my dream. And but the thing is, you had to affirm this new order. This is where we cannot do this, you know. And I went home from this meeting and talking to Dennis in my dream. And I was telling him, oh, Dennis, this is going to be so awesome, man. You know, we can have all our debts forgiven and we get to start all over. And they're going to give us $7,000 a month is what was said in my dream. They're going to give us $7,000 a month, you know, and yada, yada. I can't remember what all it was. But the point is, they're going to make it very appealing. Can you imagine the people, you know, that how they're going to feel and how they're going to cross over and not even know that it's the beast that they're stepping into? That's what is so sad. And even if you didn't believe that the V was the MOTB, even if you didn't believe that, okay, one thing you have to agree on is that it was death. It is death with a capital D. It was nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. Even Congress said it did absolutely no good. So what was the point of taking it? It was just out of fear. Well, I have to have a job, or I want to travel, or I was afraid of getting it to my parents. I was afraid of this, afraid of that. So you need to go back and re-examine why you took that thing. And you need to have a serious conversation with God, because that is part one of the global ID, which I did a graphic last night to you guys about it. So you need to renounce it. and you need to come out of agreement with it, and you need to repent and ask God to forgive you for partnering with that and for succumbing to fear. So if you think, well, I don't need to repent for doing that, you know, I just did it and it is what it is, well, then you're just going to stay right over there. You're going to have to make a decision like you do with salvation and everything else. It is a decision. You made a decision to take it. So you got to make a decision to come out of it. Because you also need to come out of all of the benefits thereof. Oh, I don't get any benefits because I took that. Really? Oh, yes, you do. You're now in the community. You're in their community. You're in their club. You have a number. You've been marked. You're now in their social club. So you need to come out and not accept any more of their benefits. You need to renounce it. And when they say, oh, you can do this if you took the V, then you won't go in that store. You won't participate and use that benefit that you have. Because in the graphic that I made last night, it made it very plain. His first presidency was to bring in the first part, which was the app. His second presidency is bringing in part 2 and 3, which is the social credit score and the carbon credit score, which is the cryptocurrency. That's why you cannot do cryptocurrency. You got to get out ASAP. Because the cryptocurrency works with the V for the carbon credit score. This is how people are going to be paid. It's Lucifer's money. It's partnering together with this blockchain spiderweb vein. Okay? So the social credit score, that's coming from China. So all that is where Elon... you know, is doing his everything app, which will probably be rolled out in 2025. And it's where people are going to be judging you, and you're going to be shamed and everything because you're not going to comply. So you have to be willing to not love your life, you know, to not comply. And the thing is, I know there's not many people out there that's saying this at all that I even know of. Even the ones who used to speak out against it, are they still speaking out against it? If they're not speaking out against it, you got to ask yourself, why? Now, why did you stop talking about the V? Because they're still requiring the V. They're still requiring it. When you go to the hospital, they're trying to push it on you. When you go to the doctor, they're still trying to push it on you. If you're an elderly person, I've had many elderly people across this country tell me how they're still trying to push it on them. Even getting things in the mail, telling them, oh, you need to come get your COVID shot. You know, so in part 2 and 3, you know, that's going to be coming after 2025. So I don't know like how much time some people ask me. Maybe we'll have another 18 months. I don't know. But 18 months is the final over because they're rolling out the new order and everything will be set up. The full infrastructure will be set up by July 4th of 2026. But the first 100 days of President Trump is going to be the big emergency because he's going to do everything like warp. You think the V was done in warp speed? You just wait until the warp speed of his agenda with the Project 2025. They have got, and who is that they said that already had all them bills ready for him to sign? I forgot who it was, but they've got them all, these executive orders he's going to sign. As soon as he is officially put in, he'll be signing on the dotted line. So, and he even said he's going to call martial law from day one. So, if he does it, I don't know, this is what he said. So, you know, we're definitely headed into some troublesome times. Type of deal. But on the other side of that, I am excited about God given us this wall of protection and given us grace to be able to step into this realm of battle that we've never been in before. I mean, I consider all of us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegoes out here. We're like, you know, loners in the wilderness, in the sea of AI, you know, really. And, you know, God is going to use us to be a shining light in the midst of the gross darkness that surrounds us. You know, that's why I believe these morning calls are so important, because we get to keep Jesus in the forefront of our day and in our mindset, you know, and we're aware of our surroundings. So that's where this call is going to be in 2025. There's going to be no more YouTube and no more videos except on band, and except for the videos that I do, you know, bits of news that I'll be doing will be up on Patreon, where I can just, you know, do it and not have you guys chat. The days of chatting publicly should be over for all you guys, because of the level that we're at right now. Just be very careful anything you post online now, chatting wise and stuff. So I'll be sharing the news over there. It's such a good platform for that. Band is really good for relationships and being able to go live in band anytime I want is really nice. When I'm out and I have these thoughts, I can get them out, stuff like that. So, well, that's all I have for you guys this morning. I love you and I thank you for being with me this morning. And I'm fixing to open up the prayer lines because I want to hear from you guys. How have you been doing over the past week? And is there anything that I can pray for you about? Okay, let me stop the recording.